Today is April 5th. Now that date might not be special to any of you, but it is to me. Today would have been my dad's 87th birthday. He passed away 20 years ago, and there isn't a day that goes by that I don't miss him. And I'll admit that I was a daddy's girl. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about my dad today. He wasn't perfect, although in my eyes when I was small, he was perfect. But I loved him anyway. He grew up in the church, but he left it when he was a young adult. He joined the Navy, met my mother, and they got married, and then they were blessed with a baby girl, which, of course, was me. I can remember when I was around 6 years old, my mom and dad were baptized and joined the church here in Sutherland. We went to church faithfully, but something happened to my daddy. He decided that he didn't want to be in the church anymore, and he left. And he was gone for about 18 years, and in that time, my mom and dad got a divorce. My dad had started drinking and smoking. And then one day, when my oldest daughter was graduating from Milo Academy, my dad had called me the night before her graduation, and he was just, for some reason, he was angry, and he was just yelling at me and swearing at me, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart to the point that I just hung up on him. And about an hour later, the phone rang, and it was my dad. And he said, "I'm sorry, baby girl. I don't know what got into me." He said, What I really wanted to tell you was, I'm going to be baptized next week. He'd been attending the Ken Cox meetings up in Vancouver, Washington. And he said, "The devil is working so hard on me." He said, "I just don't know what happened, and I'm so sorry." And I was so happy that we drove up there that next Sabbath to surprise him and watch him be baptized. And I knew that that time he had truly, truly given his heart to the Lord. And long after he was baptized, actually it wasn't too long after he was baptized. He was baptized in 1990, and in 94 he went on a mission trip to Russia. And he loved that mission trip so much, it was his dream to do something like that. But while he was there, he started having severe back pain. When he went home, he went to the chiropractor, and it just wasn't getting any better. It was getting worse, so he went to the doctor. And they checked him over, and the doctor found out that he had lung cancer. And it was so far advanced that he was not given any hope. They just sent him home without any treatment. And I can remember my dad asking me, "When I'm gone, are you going to be okay?" And that was his way of asking if I was going to stay in the church. And I told him, "Yes, Daddy, I'm going to be okay." I said, "If I could keep you here with me, that would be my dream. But I just want you to know that I will be okay. You don't have to worry." As he got weaker, he told me that he was so happy that he'd given his heart to God, because he said in the olden days, he would have been asking, "God, why me? Why are you doing this to me now? Now, when I'm retired and I could go and do your work and go on mission trips, why are you doing this to me now?" But he said now, he didn't have any of those feelings. He was right with the Lord, and he didn't blame God for any of it. A couple of weeks before he passed away, he was anointed, and at his anointing service, before it started, he said, he just wanted to say one thing before it started. He said, "I want you to know that if God chooses not to heal me in this world, he has still healed me." He did so many things to make me proud. I loved him so much. he was in severe pain in his last days. From his time that he was diagnosed to the time he passed away was 2 months and 3 days. And they started giving him pain meds. And he told me I would go up to Washington every weekend to visit him because I wanted to spend as much time as I could with him. And he said, I can't take the pain medicines. He said, because when I take them, I see all my drinking buddies sitting out there on the fence post waving me to come on. Come on, Glenn. Come and let's go drinking. And he says, I didn't want to take the pain medicine because I don't want the devil to have any kind of a window to get in to keep my mind off of Jesus. And while at work one day, I got the call that it was the end and that I needed to get there. So I got in my car and I headed to Washington and I prayed all the way up there. I'd never been there when someone passed away and I didn't know if I could handle it. And I prayed, Lord, if you think I can handle this, let my dad still be alive. If you think I can't handle it, let him go before I get there. And when I got there, he was still alive. Praise Jesus. We talked for a few minutes, but he was in and out of consciousness. He wanted to tell me that he loved me. And as I got closer to the end, and he was in so much pain, he just kept crying out, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. And you could tell he was in so much pain. And the last words that he said were, I love you, Jesus. I have no doubt that I will see my daddy again. I pray that I can live like that, that my last words will be, I love you, Jesus. And I'm going to read the text that I read at the beginning again. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And those who have died believing in Christ will rise first. And I've read this here before, but I'm going to read it again. It says, have you ever wondered what that command will be? It will be the audible word of heaven. It will be the first audible message most have heard from God. It will be the word that closes one age and starts another. I think I know what that command will be. I could very well be wrong. But I think the command that puts an end to the pains of the earth and it initiates the joy of heaven will be two words. No more. The angels will stand and the Father will speak. No more. Every person who lives and whoever lived will turn toward the sky and hear God announce, no more. No more loneliness. No more tears. No more death. No more sadness, no more crying, and no more pain. As John sat on the island of Patmos, surrounded by the sea and separated from friends, he dreamed of the day when God would say, no more. This same disciple who had heard Jesus speak these words of assurance over a half a century before now knew what they meant. I wonder if he could hear the voice of Jesus in his memory. The end will come. For those that live for this world, that's bad news. But for those who live for the world to come, it's an encouraging promise. You're on a landmine, my friends, and it's only a matter of time. For in this world, you will have trouble. The next time you're tossed into a river as you ride the rapids of life, remember his words of assurance. Those who endure will be saved. The gospel will be preached. The end will come. You can count on it. The King of Kings will raise his pierced hand and proclaim, no more.